Good morning and welcome to the Legal Checkup here on the Saturday morning WCNS Talk Block. The attorneys from Quattrini Rafferty Law Firm here in Greensburg and Pittsburgh and Latrobe are with us, and the two attorneys today are Peter Goff and Brian Bronson. Gentlemen, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Now, let's start out a little bit. First of all, Peter, give us a little background on who you are and how long you've been an attorney, and a little bit about you so we know who we're talking to.
Well, thank you. I've been an attorney for 23 years. I specialize in workers' compensation. I've been doing workers' compensation law for the entire 23 years, and in the last 20 years have focused selectively on representing injured workers.
And Brian, what's your specialty?
Well, I do mostly disability work, but it's Social Security disability, long-term disability, and then a little bit of criminal law. I was born here in Latrobe and went to Latrobe High School, and I'm glad to see that Quattrini Rafferty has an office back here in Latrobe, and hopefully we start the change.
When did you play for, when were you a Wildcat? You were always a Wildcat, but when did you play there?
I graduated high school in 95. I was part of the 8-2-94 team.
Okay.
Back when only two teams made the playoffs before it became a hockey league. So.
Okay.
But it's nice
Dow
to be
there. And Dow Carnahan was broadcasting the games then, too?
He was. He was one of the best announcers that I've seen in high school. It was Dow and Bill Abraham.
Bill Abraham.
Did a very nice job.
I thought that I was blessed to be able to put together the team like that. Dow, a great announcer, and Bill knew that game. Bill knew that game. He really did. Peter, where did you go to school?
I went to school, actually, in New York. I'm a New Yorker by birth. Brooklyn, New York, and then moved to Long Island and ended up here. Went to law school at Duquesne.
And how about, where did you go to law school?
I went to law school at Duquesne as well. That's a familiar thing at our firm. So.
There you go. Let's talk about what we're going to talk about today. So we'll start, Peter, with you, and give us a little idea what you want to talk about today.
I think I'd like to talk about something that I think is unique to Quattrini Rafferty and how we take a case and then we can do a lot with it. Doing workers' compensation is just the beginning of what we can offer clients. Very frequently people get hurt at work, they come to us and they want to know how we can help them from their workers' compensation case. And we meet with them for an hour and we go through the facts of their case. But part of the analysis that we do is trying to find out if there's anything else out there to help these people get by, because quite frequently when they come in, they have no income, they're hurt, they don't know what their future holds, they don't know how long they're going to be disabled, they don't know where the money's going to come from. So with that in mind, we try to find other ways to get them benefits, either when the workers' compensation case is in litigation or even if they're just receiving workers' compensation benefits and moving on with their lives.
Have you noticed in your time doing this kind of work that things have changed, maybe let's say from when you first was doing it and today? Are the cases different or still similar similar problems people get themselves into?
You must have some experience in this, because that's an excellent question. In the old days, and that's when I started in 1990, and it was really a very pro-employee type of program. Employees had protections, and they had the law and the courts in their favor. Unfortunately, over the last 15 years, and especially since 1996 to the present, the laws have changed and the court's view has changed. And now cases that were slam dunks have now become hotly contested. And people who are deserving of benefits from early on have to fight tooth and nail for a year to try to get on workers' compensation.
And you can't do it as just a person. I mean, you have to have professional help, do you not?
Most of the time, if you go to try to represent yourself, a judge is going to send you away at the first hearing and say, look, get counsel. It's become so specialized that even a general lawyer would have a very difficult time doing workers' compensation. Everything's become specialized in workers' compensation.
You know, in the media, in today's media, you'll see some cases that'll get some publicity, and the awards are really big, big numbers. You know, they're staggering numbers in some cases. What is the norm, if there is such a thing? I mean, when somebody's hurt on the job, what are the factors that go into the kind of compensation they'd be able to achieve?
I think that you're exactly right in terms of there are so many factors that there is no norm. It depends upon severity of the injury, the length of time that the person is going to be out of work, whether the person is ever going to go back to what they were doing before they were injured, what they were making, their average weekly wage, their workers' compensation rate. All these things go into a factor on how much a case is worth. Some people want to get back to work real quickly and maybe not even settle their case. Other people know that they're never going to be back to what they were before, and they know they have to move on with their lives, and in that respect, they're looking to settle a case.
Being an employer myself, of course, we pay as part of the business expense workman's compensation premiums, and we've been very fortunate that we've had no one here really get hurt on the job. And it's a blessing, really. I've owned this place for almost 25 years now. But I know that one thing that I've heard about is I am required to put together, by the insurance company, a list of preferred providers. And obviously what I do is I take the local people, figuring that they would be more aware of what's going on here rather than necessarily maybe somebody in the city somewhere or something. And I think the employees, the way I understand the way it's supposed to work, is the employee has to go to these people first before they can leave. Is that true, or how does that work?
It's partially true. The law is that if the time that the injured worker gets injured, and also the time he was originally hired, he was provided with a list of six physicians, which we call panel physicians. And he signed a document acknowledging that he received that list both at the time he's hired and at the time he's injured. Then he is required to treat with that panel physician for 90 days or risk not having his work-related bills paid for by the workers' compensation insurance company. They can always be submitted to the private health insurance carrier as an alternative.
So I'm partially right. And
it's
good. Now I learned something too.
Yeah, it's much more.
It is posted and everything, but you have to go over it when you first employ them, huh?
Yeah, and they have to sign something because that's the evidence that the insurance company has to present in court if they're not paying a bill. They have to say, well, look, here's the list that was signed by the employee on both occasions.
Okay, and that's how you go after the case and represent the injured. You really represent the injured, do you not?
We do, yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Well, it's interesting. What did we miss here? Tell me a little bit more about workman's comp. I know there's a lot more details involved in. Give me an idea of a typical case that maybe you recently solved for somebody.
Well, we do a whole range of workers' compensation cases from people falling off ladders to occupational diseases to what we call cumulative or repetitive trauma injuries such as carpal tunnel syndrome, situations such as aggravation of a pre-existing condition, for example. Someone who has been has a bad back but is able to work, does something at work, lifts something heavy, and now he can't do what he was doing before. That also is a compensable case. And we try to develop the claim as rapidly as possible, but what's very important is to have a great physician for the employee. And what I mean by that is someone whose primary purpose is to get that injured worker back to where he was before. So medical is the most important thing that we look for in physicians. And then we'll also want a physician who basically feels comfortable in the court system and feels comfortable testifying. But that's where we generally start it. And then what we also try to do while working the workers' compensation cases is to meet with the individual and find out, well, what else is in their future? What else are they going to need? is this a short-term disability, in which case we can look to the workers' compensation? If the case is denied, how do we get this individual workers' compensation benefits or any benefits at all so they can live and feed their families until we win the case? And in that respect, we look to things such as whether the person has a short-term disability policy with their employer or a long-term disability policy, or even whether they would qualify for Social Security disability, or if there's some type of veteran benefits, things of that nature. Sometimes if the person is hurt and they can do some work but not do what they were doing before, we encourage them to apply for unemployment benefits. The point is that we know that these people have families to feed and that they need money sometimes while the case is being litigated. So we try to find other avenues in the short term as well as in the long term if they're never going back to what they were doing before.
Well, as an employer, because I do buy the workman's compensation, or any employer, we're mandated by law to pay the workman's compensation. I'm really out of the loop, am I not? I mean, your argument is with the insurance company's attorneys.
You're absolutely right. We really try to work with the employers. It's usually not the employers that calling the shots, unless you're huge, unless, you know, employers that like Walmart or Lowe's that might be self-insured, so it's their money regardless if it's a workers' compensation case or sickness and accident or health insurance. But with most employers, it's usually the employees and the employers get along pretty well. It's the insurance companies and I might get in trouble here, their agendas which usually cause most of the conflicts that we see. Usually the employers are willing to work with us and trying to get things back to way the best they can. And it's usually insurance companies that are looking at it more of in a short-term, very short-sighted manner. Deny claims rather than just maybe getting the person the treatment they need to, in the end, shorten the claim.
Mm-hmm. Most employers, I think, get along with their employees.
I agree.
And we would want, I mean, if somebody really got hurt here, You want the best for them, and you would want them to be taken care of so they could get back to work. Because when you're a small company and you don't have as many employees, I mean, even at the law firm, I mean, if one of you get hurt, there's a book of business there that has to be taken care of, and you just don't pick a lawyer off the street and say, hey, come in and do Brian's job here, right? How do you get up to speed on the cases and everything? So you want your employees to do well.
But yeah, sure. I think that most employers value their employees and what they bring to the table. But the employers, I think, realize that if this person's not coming back in the near future, I need to cover myself too, and I need someone to come in there and to do the job. How do I protect myself from not alienating my employee, but at the same time getting done what I need done to make my business continue?
Well, you're listening to the Legal Checkup brought to you by the Quattrini Rafferty Law Firm. And how many lawyers are there now? 12? 13? Something like that. I know we've got a picture of all of them on our website over there.
It depends how many Quattrinis or Rafferties come along.
Okay. How many get law degrees and follow in their dad's footsteps? That's good. But okay. Well, anyhow, this is the Legal Checkup Saturday morning talk block on WCNS. And two of the attorneys from Quattrini Rafferty, Peter Goff and Brian Bronson, are with us today. And we've been talking to Peter about workman's comp. And now we're going to talk to Brian a little bit about a whole together different topic in a way. And that is benefits that people get from Social Security disability, Social Security income. And why don't you start, Brian, and bring us in on the topic that you want to be addressed.
Sure. And, you know, to answer your one question, you asked a question about the verdicts and how these high numbers come up. And I'd encourage anybody, especially in the listening area here, to check out the Westmoreland Bar Association website, because they do publish the jury verdicts for the county. And I think you'd be astonished the other way when you take a look at the verdicts in this county, because there are a lot of $0 verdicts. There's a lot of defense verdicts. And one thing that I can tell you, at least from our law firm, from our perspective, is we don't make people rich. We help people that have very little income and very little resources and very little opportunity. And, you know, there are occasionally personal injury cases where we're able to get large sums of money for people. And I think we do very well across the board in getting as much as we can for people. But the areas of practice that we do generally don't make a person rich. You know, if somebody wants to live off of $1,500 a month or even less, you know, then by all means, wish yourself in one of these cases. But they're basically benefits of last resort for at least the ones that I do. Workers' comp is a little bit different than that. But Social Security disability, supplemental security income benefits are benefits which you're entitled to by virtue of being an American citizen. So Social Security disability, you have to work 20 of the last 40 quarters and pay into the system. And most people that have a full-time job have enough credits to qualify. If you work 5 out of the last 10 years, basically you have enough benefits to qualify. And although not technically correct, the easiest way to think about it is if you qualify for Social Security disability, the government assumes basically for actuarial purposes that you are full retirement age. And they pay you your Social Security benefit just like you were at full retirement age. So let's say that you're a 56-year-old guy that works over here at Latrobe Steel. Let's just take Latrobe Steel. You're in the foundry, or you're knocking away with a hammer at the slag and clearing out that stuff, and you hurt your back, and it's not work related, or it could be work related. A lot of our cases are work related. So let's say it is work related that, you know, it was you were at your job, you got hurt. You can't go back and do your job. You're 56 in the labor market around here. I think if you've spent 25 years over there, it'd be hard to find other work because you just don't have the education, you don't have the training, you don't have the experience to do that. So one of the options for an individual like that who can't go back and do their job, they may be able to go and work at Walmart, but, you know, again, it's Walmart only has so many jobs, and those are cushy jobs and a little bit easier than working in a steel mill. That person may say, okay, what option do I have? I can't find employment. I may be getting a check from workers' comp, may not be, it may be in litigation. What other options do I have? And Social Security disability is one of those options. So if you take a 56-year-old individual, let's say the job is a medium to heavy-duty job, lifting 50 pounds or maybe a little bit more, they would qualify for Social Security disability even though they might theoretically be able to do sedentary duty work, such as my job when I joke around and tell people I've got to lift these heavy weights, the books in my office are, you know, 5-10 pounds, but or even a light duty job lifting up to 20 pounds. So the government realizes that at 56, you can't just easily go back to the community college or go back to OVR and get retrained in some other occupational area. That the realities are your job options are limited, and they would pay a claim. One of the biggest benefits, and this is especially important now that we're having the changeover with the healthcare law, is that 2 years after you're entitled to Social Security disability, regardless of your age, you're entitled to Medicare. So that 56-year-old individual that gets hurt, by age 58, they can get Medicare. And that's huge, 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 because the cost of insurance is just going up and up and up. And once an individual can get Medicare, they can get either a Medicare Advantage plan or a supplemental plan and really pay probably one-third or one-fourth of what they'd have to pay on the open market.
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
But some of the other benefits that we do, short-term disability, I think 60% of the employers in the country now offer short-term and long-term disability to their employees. It's been going down over the years, and I think that as the economy ticks up, that may go back up because I think it's an important federal benefit. Those benefits are governed by the ERISA statute, which actually our Congressman Dent, our local congressman, was one of the big forces behind the ERISA statute to protect the pension plans across the country. So those are two other areas. And then so when we get a new client in and they are literally desperate because they can't go back to work and they may be out of sick days, we look for every possible source of income to try to get them through. If some are people are veterans and, we have a lot. Pennsylvania, I know, has a large percentage of Korean War and Vietnam War veterans coming out of the state, disproportionate to the other states, I think, from some of the statistics I've seen. But sometimes, you know, we'll get an individual that maybe they hurt their back, we'll stick with that example, and they have diabetes, but they served in Vietnam. Well, what a lot of people don't know is that if an individual served in country in Vietnam and has diabetes, they have a presumptive veterans disability claim because studies show that the exposure to the Agent Orange in country caused type 2 diabetes. So that may be one. There, you know, the veterans benefits, the veterans have some very, very nice benefits. The Veterans Administration doesn't do the best job at advertising what benefits they have. For instance, you know, if your spouse served in wartime, and I'll give you an example. My grandfather served in World War II. My grandmother went into a personal care home, and month after month, we paid the additional money to keep her in the personal care home, you know, which was in addition to her Social Security check. And it can be pretty overwhelming for families to do that.
Oh, yeah.
What we found out was, because by virtue of my grandfather being a veteran, my grandmother being in need of aid and attendance was entitled to aid and attendance benefits, which paid a stipend for her to stay in a personal care home or in a nursing home. And again, it kind of follows the model. We don't make people rich, but we make people secure in the fact that they have the care they need. They don't lose their homes. They don't lose their automobiles. They don't lose their right to health care coverage. And again, the workers' compensation part, where Pete can tell you, is if you get hurt on the job, not only does it give you money to help pay for your wage loss, it does offer health care too, in the terms of your work-related injuries are the responsibility of the insurance carrier to be covered. So,
how would one know what they qualify for?
Well, that basically nobody really knows until they come and sit down with us. I mean, you can do the research on the internet, you can, you know, talk to various people, but I think the best resource is your attorney who's been involved in these cases. You know, there are some other resources, going to the Social Security office and asking questions. There are some very nice people that work at the Social Security office and give you information, but they're very overwhelmed in terms of the number of people and their ability to talk to you for any great length of time. We also have a very good Veterans Affairs office here at the courthouse, which is another good source for veterans to help get their benefits. The AMVETS, the Veterans of Foreign War, all those types of agencies give very good information. So it's just, you know, you need to ask.
That's Brian Bronson. He's an attorney with Quattrini Rafferty, and Peter Goff is here also. Pete, I saw somewhere where you and a couple of your buddies at Quattrini Rafferty got a certification. Do you want to pat yourself on the back and tell us what's going on? It's important. I'm being silly, but it's important. Go ahead, tell us.
No, thank you. Thank you for mentioning that. It's an honor. There are, until recently, there were no lawyers that had to be certified in Pennsylvania. No matter what your specialty was, you practiced. In workers' compensation, they decided to have a certification process. And this is, again, the only specialty in Pennsylvania for lawyers to undergo this certification. Basically, you have to take a test, and if you pass, you are certified workers' compensation attorney. What's significant about it is that there's only three attorneys in who practice primarily in Westmoreland County who are certified. That's Vince Quattrini, Ron Foner, and myself, Pete Goff. In the entire state of Pennsylvania, there are only 149 certified workers' compensation attorneys. So it is kind of a rarity. It demonstrates our expertise. We would be the best, well, at least studious-wise, attorneys in workers' compensation pursuant to this test and the criteria that they've established.
Maybe I'm unfair asking you to toot your own horn. Brian, why don't you speak to this idea of the certification?
Sure. Well, I'm not certified, so although I don't do workers' comp, but yeah. I think it's a movement in the state to make sure that people are protected in the terms of having an eminently qualified attorney. And I think it's important that, you know, we stress that to our clients, that we do have three people that are qualified. Now, more people may be qualified in the future, but it's not an easy test either. It's something that, you know, I think is important, like I said, to protect the client's interests because, you know, the law over the years, and I've been doing it 11 years, so I can't say over the great number of years, but even over those 11 years, specialties are becoming more and more important in the law. You know, it's just kind of like if you have had cancer, you're not going to just go to your primary care physician and say, I'm done. He's going to say, you need, you know.
Sure.
So you need to be seeing somebody that does these areas of law. And, I we do a fair amount of criminal law. And, it's one of those areas that you don't want to get a general practitioner to be doing your specialty when your life's on the line. Same thing when your income's on the line.
Isn't that true, too, that when you are in a specialty, though, there's so much knowledge that you have to pick up? I mean, you just... The broad scope is just too broad anymore. I mean, you got to focus somewhere. And you know what I mean?
And I think that's why they maybe have spearheaded workers' compensation as the primary or the first certification, and that the law in workers' compensation changes all the time. We get something called advance sheets, which tells you all the cases that are going on and what laws are what cases are making law. There's more workers' compensation cases in these advance sheets than any other type of case at all that's going on in the state or in the what we call the Atlantic section of our practice. So it's exactly right. The law changes so much. A general practitioner or a dabbler or even someone who does it sometimes can't really keep up the way we can.
Well, I'm going to give each of you the last word. I just want to mention that Quattrini Rafferty has a location in Latrobe in the old Mellon Bank building. I still call it the old Mellon Bank building. It's the Quattrini Rafferty building now, I think, or whatever.
I don't know that it has a name. It's got Quattrini Rafferty written very big on it.
It's at the corner of Ligonier and Main. They've got an office there, and, of course, they did a wonderful job on this building in Greensburg on East Pittsburgh Street up there. You got beautiful offices in there. I mean, you couldn't think about building a place like that. It was an old school building that they refurbished. And now you have a brand new office in the city of Pittsburgh. And so for clients that where that's more convenient, you can work out of there too.
Right. And I think what we found is people from Latrobe like Latrobe a whole heck of a lot. And they don't like to leave Latrobe. So that's why we came down to downtown Latrobe. And again, I think part of it's to help revitalize the town, you know, and it's a beautiful town, and I understand there's a couple festivals going on this summer and some unique things that, you know, celebrate the community college, and again, just kind of tying into that theme, and we'd encourage anybody, if you walk by our office, come in and check it out, because the bank has been redone, the interior was taken back to the original coffer plaster ceilings, and the vault was kept, so it's a really beautiful space.
Yes, I've been in there, and it's really a unique building. And I don't know, they don't have a conference table in that vault, do they? But, I mean, it is a vault. It's really interesting. Well, Peter, I'll give you the last 30 seconds here.
I just like to thank you for the opportunity to come here and tell you what we do and what we love to do. I'm not originally from Western Pennsylvania, but you know what? I fall in love with this place, and I enjoy so many activities out here that I could never really do in New York.
Well, I want to thank Peter Goff and Brian Bronson, both attorneys with Quattrini Rafferty, for being on the Legal Checkup this Saturday on the WCNS Talk Blog. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.